Hey, happy Friday, everyone. Finally, the day has come, the day we all have been waiting for. my partners in crime, Brian Wimpen and William Tinkell, is not on the show at this moment, but you can expect Brian at any time, And this week, it was pretty fast. We had a great time at Summer Brand Camp. I met a lot of folks, met a lot of people that I totally admire and inspire. And then I talked to a lot of other HR practitioners who work in a daily trench HR and get things done. So without further ado, let's talk to our guest, Gretchen Bickney. Hey, Gretchen, how are you doing today?
Hi, Nisha. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How about you?
Doing wonderful. It's Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday, finally. So do me a favor, introduce yourself to our audience, and then we'll talk about what's keeping you up at night.
Okay, sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in the great state of Louisiana, and today I'm at a meeting for, we're still calling us personnel directors here in the government. So we're in the capital of Baton Rouge, and we're visiting with about 30 other people from across the state.
Wow, that's cool. And I must say, we had a great time at Louisiana Shrimp Conference. And especially from my side, I'm personally honored and humbled for the opportunity that I got to work with the social media team.
It was a wonderful experience for us as well to have such a large group of social media bloggers and people that wrote then about the conference and kept up with it during the session. So we had a good time as well.
Yeah, it was very, very lively, the whole event and the whole experience, I must say. So what's keeping you up at night these days?
Well, I tell you, when I talked to some of the other HR practitioners in the area and I was thinking about this show today, what we all agreed to was competing priorities. And let me tell you, they are asking for more with less resources, and we have to figure out how to make it happen.
Yeah, that's an interesting subject. So what's your take on, what's your best advice on, competing priorities and to use less resources and make a better result out of that?
Well, what I like to say is in human resources, if you don't like to be bored, this is the perfect career for you because it's always changing and never the same. So you really need to be flexible in working in an environment where they have those competing priorities, where you have several people coming to you on a regular basis, almost daily, asking for new and different things. It could be from projects or new policy considerations, trainings that they want to have happen in their department, recruitment campaigns that they'd like to start, change, or make better, and then just regular transactional HR, what I call transactional HR, just doing the day-to-day filing. Paperwork that comes with it.
That's cool. That's interesting. Well, if I give you a triangle with, let's just say, three aspects, we have time, cost, and scope of a project. So what's your take on how do you find a synergy between these three and make the project happen in a successful and in a best quality manner?
Sure. We had a little difficulty with that, just the documentation and the workflow between a scope of a project and creating the timeline that goes with it and how to keep within a budget. What's the budget, first of all? How much money do you have to spend in something? So in my department, we have a lot of projects going on, and there are two of us, me and an assistant, and I have only had the assistant for the last 2.5-3 years. So in January of this year, we decided that we needed to start doing something to help with our processes, especially for the scope of our project. And Dwayne Lay is a friend of mine who just came out with a new book called Lean HR, and he started talking about his principles, and I thought, well, that's really fantastic, because if you can document, it's common sense to me, but if you can document your process and say, okay, here's the project, what needs to happen, how are we going to make it happen with these limited resources? Can we delegate to another department? And what does it look like? Because in the end, Victoria, my assistant, and I, we knew what we were doing. We knew what project we were working on, but no one else did. So we put together something in our office. We have a very small office. We have 125 employees. We have everywhere from police employees to water and sewer and streets and buildings and grounds. And our city hall has finance, planning, and then various administration personnel. So we put together a whiteboard, and we started doing some principles that are called Agile. Well, Agile is one of those things that's kind of like Lean and Six Sigma and CMMI and Kaizen. It's a little different in that we needed something to be real flexible. So Agile HR was born for us. And one of the ways that we used it was to put up a whiteboard. We went back to the whiteboard. We went back to the sticky note. And we said, all right, what are we working on? Agile HR in our office, what does it look like? We got projects. We have policies. We have training, recruitment campaigns, transactional HR. We got to get it all done in a timely manner and meet everybody's priorities. Here we go with competing priorities. Who's more important, the mayor or the civil service board that we answer to? Department heads, where do they come into this whole picture? We put the whiteboard up and we said, all right, scope of a project, we have one planned. Put it on there. Sticky note, write it out. We have planned, we have in progress, and we have done. The done category, we literally put on there some stars because it made us feel good when we actually completed something. And trying to be flexible, we're able to take those little sticky notes that we have on the board and move them around every day if we need to, if somebody comes in with something that needs to be a higher priority. What came out of it was something kind of cool. When people would walk into our office with their coffees in hand and look around and ask questions, which interrupts us from our regular work, when they do that, they're looking at the board. They have something to do. And they're seeing what's in, what's being planned, what's in progress, and what's done. Where do they sit on that board? And it was just one example that's been working for us for the last several months, and we now feel like we're not just spinning our wheels.
Interesting. Well, a big shout out to our friend Dwayne Lee. Check his book, a new book on Lean HR. And talking about this particular aspect, two questions comes to my mind. Well, you touched upon delegation. So, you know, when we talk about delegation, how difficult it can be to delegate, and how to delegate effectively, you know, so that it is important to remember that we need to be assertive and not aggressive and asking for help, right?
Right.
Yeah, so what's your take on delegation, that particular aspect, in terms of meeting your priorities?
What we found was we needed to not feel like we had to do it all. We are super women, but we couldn't do everything. The transactional HR role, filing, for example, documents come into the department, they need to be scanned, they need to be put in the personnel folders.
Right.
Can we automate it? Can we go paperless? Where are the laws regarding that, especially in our government agency? And then do we have a temp working maybe in City Hall that is not dedicated to our human resource department but would be willing to take on some extra tasks when they don't have anything else going on? So here you have a temp. They come into a position. They're not going to give them all of the regular tasks that someone who is a permanent employee would get. And so they had some downtime. So they said, all right, you know what? Here are some documents. This is how you do it. This is how it gets scanned. Can you take care of this for us? And we've had more work done, less paper in our office, because we found someone that was competent enough to do the scanning, get it for filing. Because in human resources, filing is not A, B, C, D. As most of you know, we have all these different folders, I-9 folders, health folders, FMLA, the regular personnel folders to do. It was a big deal. We were overwhelmed with paper. And imagine other departments that work on different topics and subjects and in different careers, they don't have all of the paper that we end up getting in human resources, so they keep telling everybody, document, 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 and then they do. So delegation for that higher level, when we do the recruitment campaigns, do we need to do everything? Or can we hand that off to the department? They can do their own interviewing. They know what they're looking for. We can give them the guidelines. CIRM, our national organization that we're affiliated with, has a great bank of resources available for questions and guidelines for interviewing. We just borrowed theirs, made them our own, sent them back out to the departments, and they've been happy to do that because then they see the quality of candidates that they're getting and can choose from that. So just a couple of examples on how we've done some delegations.
Cool. And let me talk about agile HR. Let's just say that businesses are seeking to be more scalable or more flexible and agile in the marketplace. So to do this, HR need to I believe HR need to focus on the right mix of competencies. So what's your take on that?
Well, as I was trying to figure out how to implement some of it, in addition to everything else that we were working on in the department, I read some articles. My husband is an agile certified speaker, so he did a presentation in Dallas, and I traveled with him and listened to it. You know what? They're talking about software implementation and how they're doing software engineering. He said to this could work for human resources, so there were some companies in there they were talking about, and I said, hey, hang on a second, you could do that. So one of the articles just said that driving agility means driving programs which create adaptability and innovation and collaboration and speed. We needed to be flexible and get projects done quicker and to have them be accurate. So how do we do that? One of the things in my office that we do is communication. Between the Corey and I, pretty smart girls, but we're not always the experts on everything. So if we're communicating what we're working on, we're trying to figure out a way to do it better, can we do an online process? Can we make a form faster by doing it with technology? We found that we sure can. We don't have to have all the answers. But if we're communicating what we're working on with the experts out there, we can look at social media and articles and different blogs that are out there that say, hey, we found that this works for us. There's the downfalls for it, but here's some things that you can use in your office. And we were able to take those and adapt them in our office. It's helped. Because those competing priorities, I'll tell you, they will definitely keep you up at night. There were a couple of websites that when I was thinking about Agile and could it be used for human resources, they were already out there. Within the last couple of years, the Human Capital Institute talked about creating an Agile HR organization. And I have some websites I can provide to you so you can have those for your show. And then they had Agile 2013 is actually a conference coming up in Nashville, Tennessee in August. And that will then talk about the Agile Manifesto. Now, there's always going to be people out there that say, ooh, this works, and I found something better, and it's called these other things that I mentioned earlier. You basically just need to find something that works for you. And what I was thinking about for this was it was a real quick and easy, I could do this in my office, and it made sense for some of the things that we were working on. But that doesn't mean the other ones wouldn't be better or work differently for someone else. It's just basically, in my opinion, taking common sense and putting it on paper and then implementing it. And how do you work through some of these things? Because we may be great at what we do, but as far as process and procedures, and standards, we may not be the best at that. So we'll let that be up to the experts, like our Dwayne Lay, to come up with those and say, hey, this is an easy way for you to do this. I hear what you're saying about competing priorities, and what if you did this? So.
Interesting. Well, talking about this agile transformation, let's just talk about agile transformation. Just as a simple HR organization or a startup HR organization, I mean, they would like to become an agile, getting their HR, become agile, transformed. So when we talk about competencies, what's your take on, you know, providing the training and doing an assessment and providing the right, improving the right skill set for their HR organization, I mean, for their HR function?
We're still working on this ourselves. So the example I gave of the whiteboard is one of our first attempts to see if this will work in our office. We're looking to implement some controls and some standards just by creating some documents about workflow. How do we conduct orientation and onboarding? What's actually used in our office? And if I wasn't sitting there and someone else had to walk into the office and just take over, would they have a guideline to show them what needs to happen when they're talking to employees, or are there some other guidelines and not necessarily policies, because everybody kind of looks down on policies. When they hear policies, you hear the big groan in the room. So we're trying to create some standards and make some changes. So I guess that could be for a later show, maybe. I could come back and let you know if we're still using this in our office and how it's worked for us as we create some of those standards and facilitate some improved organizational agility, I guess.
Cool. So what's the role of leadership in that particular process?
Leadership, I'm doing something in the office. In City Hall, we have staff meetings once a week with the mayor. He is our CAO. And we're in there for about an hour, hour and a half. I just love meetings. I love them when they last for a very short amount of time. But when we leave there, communication, I think, is key. So we're doing stand-up meetings that are like 5 minutes in length between Victoria and I. And just, hey, what does she need to know to continue doing her job? Are we taking a new direction? Are we working on a project that needs to change and change the flow or gears and go in a different direction now? So we're really a small operation. So the leadership, like I said, in my office, in my experience, those are the people that are coming by and they're asking us to do one more thing. And, hey, the priority is big for me. I want it to be your number one priority. So, like I said, I have to go back to the whiteboard because that's just the newest thing that we have going on. That's what they're reviewing, and they see where they are kind of in the queue. Kind of like when we go to the IT people and they say, okay, this is where I have you. You can have your new software, but it's going to take 3 weeks, and this is why. This is where you are in the queue. Number one, two, three on the priority list there. So we're going to continue kind of developing our office and see where we go to kind of help with those competing priorities. The change came for me this year. We have a new mayor. So in the past, my job description has about 29 key items on it. And in the last year, it's probably grown to 40. So how do you do that in a week's time? Which is why it became necessary to do something finally. I mean, we were busy before, but now we're exempt from the Fair Labor Standards. I find that we're working at home more than we were.
Cool. So I'm here to make the work of a startup HR easier, let's just say in terms of prioritizing their HR function, the work in their HR function. So if you're looking for four quadrants in terms of prioritizing HR functions, let's just say probably important plus urgent or important plus not urgent or something like that, you know, something which is related to, which should be handled immediately, or something that is related to productivity. So how do you categorize that and create a, if you were able to create a four quadrant, how would you go ahead?
I mean, I can tell you what I do in my office as far as prioritizing. We revisit the major projects, I guess you could say, once a week. And we have a plan of action that we're following. But prioritizing in my office is for human resources, for me, are the employee requests. If I get an employee request and they want to look at their retirement, they call. If I'm in my office, I stop what I'm doing and I take on whatever request they have. If I got a verification of employment or somebody has a loan that they're trying to gain, I'm going to stop what I'm doing and pull the necessary information for them. So I don't really know how to answer your question as far as and you've given some good suggestions even in your question about how to do that. But for me, the employee requests are number one,
mm-hmm.
and I want to get those answered within a 24-hour period. So
cool.
I do those first, and then other things fall behind that.
Yeah, I like that idea of saying that goal in terms of that goal setting should be clear to all the team members in the HR function. And not only that, how do we evaluate that? That does matter a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So when we talk about priorities, we talked about, you know, differentiating various functions into different buckets. And then we talked about the role of leadership, and we talked about training function as well. And what's your take on, you know, the performance appraisal in terms of evaluating the results of you have prioritized your work, and where are we right now? So what's your take on how should be the goal setting of that performance appraisal of this entire project in front of you?
You're asking about performance appraisals or evaluations on?
No, I'm asking particularly about this prioritizing project.
Okay. I don't really know how to answer that. How do we evaluate then the priorities in the projects and see that they're complete? I have a whole lot of steps that I am required to go through when I'm doing certain projects. One of the things, for example, is policy writing. The federal law, I guess, and the state laws kind of dictate what needs to happen in our office. So when we have to change our handbook, I have to evaluate what's been provided to us by the state. Say the Department of Labor changes something, and now it's dictated to us that we are going to follow this law. I'll take that and review the current policy that we have, pull the language that they have from their law, and then review it with our attorney. He doesn't write it. He'd rather have it from the HR perspective, especially when it's going to go into our handbook. It's just got to follow the letter of the law. Then we're required to take it to the Civil Service Board for their consideration and discussion, and then on to the City Council for their final consideration and discussion. Along the way, a lot of things can get changed. So I guess to look at maybe just that one example for a performance appraisal, I look at it, where did I start and where did I end, and how long did it take me to get there? So a new law going into effect, we've heard about it probably for the last year or two, hopefully. Healthcare reform is coming up. We've heard about that for a lot longer. What do the final results need to look like? It's done properly, but we want to get it done in a timely manner. So my performance appraisal on myself then, for something like that, is I want to do it in less than 8 weeks and have it streamlined in time for that law to be effective for one goal is to have it done.
Cool. Gretchen, I think we have Brian online right now. Hey, Brian, is that you?
Yeah, that's me. Hey, Gretchen.
Hi, Brian.
Hey, I definitely have a question. So obviously, if you guys have covered that, I'll hit it from a different perspective. So you've got thousands and tens of thousands of HR professionals that are going to converge onto Chicago for the SHRM conference. What's the one thing that they can't miss out on?
The one thing that they can't miss out on is the kickball tournament that's going on Sunday night at 7 o'clock. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. It's right after the opening of the whole conference, and the conference is going to have a great keynote speaker in Hillary Rodham Clinton, and then they'll have the opening of the exhibit hall, which is a great time. It's a great time to meet vendors and kind of get out there and mix and mingle with people and network, and then I would head straight over to that kickball tournament to come watch and support the No Kids Hungry.
That is absolutely one of the best number one things they've got to get involved with. It's going to be so much fun. That's right. We had lots of professionals. So actually, for everybody listening, the next show, we're doing our special annual kind of Sherm preview show, which is going to come on right after this one, everybody. So dial back in and check it out. We've got Curtis Minkiv coming on, and we're going to talk about all the amazing things and all the what's in it for you, you know. So, and obviously, very, very lucky. We've now had a former vice president. We've had a former national security advisor, secretary of state. We've got another secretary of state on. That's a pretty amazing lineup of speakers over the years that HR professionals have been able to listen to, from my perspective, anyway.
I love the professional development that comes out of this conference and all the credits that you can get for your CEUs, especially if you have your certification.
Oh, my gosh, yeah. And there's, you know what, there's so many from a global and a strategic. I mean, there's tons of general, you know, and especially on certification. We're going to do actually a drive-through HR first, and we're going to live stream it from the HRCI booth, actually live stream it from a video perspective, which we have actually never done before, so that'll be super interesting on Sunday. So it'll either go really, really well, because we're clever and entertaining, or it's going to go really, really awkward, and we'll still be clever and entertaining. It just won't be quite as technology smooth. So we'll figure that out, but it'll be a lot of fun. So, hey, Gretchen, one more quick question. So, and it's so good to be able to obviously spend time with you throughout the year at different things, and you're an amazing HR practitioner. So where are you currently? And we've only got just a little while. So where are you currently drawing some inspiration from, personally and professionally? Just where are you kind of getting a spark of inspiration?
Spark of inspiration. I'm currently the state director for Louisiana Sherm. So I get to meet with some amazing HR practitioners across the state of Louisiana on a regular basis. And I would say that I would get most of my inspiration from all of them. They are such an inspiration. One of the things that I always try to live by is to make happen for people. I'm going to go home. To Sherm in Chicago, and we'll get that professional development. We have a great time on Sunday night with you guys as well.
Cool. That's great, Gretchen. Well, pleasure to have you here today with us at Drive to HR, and thank you for being here and sharing your lunch with us today.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So, everybody have a wonderful weekend, and we have our Sherm 2013 annual conference and exposition preview show coming up next, so stay tuned.